Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, May 14th, 5:26 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are mixed this morning. July corn futures up 2 3/4 at 4.75 1/4. July soybeans down 5 1/2 at 12.14. July Chicago wheat up 0.5 cent at 6.87 1/2. July Kansas City wheat up 0.75 cents at $7.75. July spring wheat down 0.25 at 7.38. We've got a Russia wheat story.
So May frosts are fueling Russian wheat export prices. The unseasonal frosts are damaging the crop and adding to the already high export prices. Prices have risen over the last month due to drought conditions. Despite the damaged crop, Russia's ag minister said there is no danger to the country's food security. Russia's ag ministry has yet to reduce this season's crop forecast of 132 million metric tons. Russian ag consultancy ICAR reduced its estimate of the wheat crop to 86 million metric tons this week from 91 million metric tons previously. Last week, Sovacon reduced its wheat forecast by 3.4 million metric tons to 89.6 million metric tons. Also last week, the USDA estimated the crop at 88 million metric tons.
There are two issues in Russia as it relates to wheat. They had a frost, which probably did some damage. We don't really know. The bigger thing, I think, has been drought. They've had dry conditions, and it's led to these lower production forecasts. Now, these are not disastrous numbers. I mean, the ICAR number is 86. That's only 2 million below USDA. That's not a disaster by any means. So we're in the midst of a supply scare or crop scare event. If there was something called Grain Trading 101, they would tell you that, supply scare events are meant to be sold and that demand scare rallies are meant to be respected. But you know what? The wheat market does goofy things sometimes. Russia, this is a big deal, of course, because Russia is, again, projected to be the world's top wheat exporter. This chart is updated for the new crop marketing year. 52 million metric tons worth of wheat exports expected. That would be 24% of all global wheat exports. The wheat market has been on an absolute tear here. SRW futures have rallied $1.58 per bushel from the fourth quarter low, and they've now retraced almost 62% of the break from the July 2023 high to the fourth quarter low. So it's been a really impressive rally. It does appear to me to be a crop scare event type thing. Maybe there's some other things at play here. Maybe the funds are worried about inflation. Maybe they're worried about some of this interest rate stuff. Maybe there's some outside concerns. But the Russia thing appears to be perhaps the biggest story here for the time being.
Indian wheat stocks have fallen to their lowest level since 2008. As of May 1st, stocks totaled 26 million metric tons, down 10.3% from last year. The decline is attributed to hot and dry conditions that led to poor wheat crops in the past 2 years. State reserves have also been depleted due to the Indian government selling wheat to bulk consumers in hopes of lowering domestic prices. Despite the low inventory, India's government is discouraging imports by refusing to lower or remove the current 40% tax on imports. The government is also reluctant to buy wheat directly from major suppliers such as Russia.
India is a big deal when it comes to wheat consumption. So our top two stories are the top wheat exporter has problems with their crops. And the second story is the second largest user of wheat on the planet has low stocks. That being said, the India wheat stock story is nothing new. Their stocks to use ratio has been very, very low each of the last 3 years. We're talking 8%, 6%, 7.5% is the projection for this year. And they have not imported any material amount of wheat in any of these 3 years. And I don't know that they're going to do that this year. So yeah, you could talk about the potential for India, this big wheat user, coming in and importing a whole bunch of wheat, but they're not, the numbers are not dissimilar to what they've been the last 2 or 3 years. And they didn't really import any wheat during that time frame. So they can just stay here with tighter stocks and not really do much about it. It's, I suppose it's a friendly headline, but until they decide they're going to actually import something, I don't know that it makes a ton of difference.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about yesterday's video?
Pete Meyer was on yesterday. Anytime Pete is on, it's a must watch or must listen event. But we ran through the new crop, corn, and soybean balance sheets and kind of made the adjustments that I guess we thought were necessary. We asked Pete about acreage. We asked about demand. There were several adjustments that we made, and we tried to kind of come to some conclusions. Like, you know, if we're going to get into a bull market or more friendly scenario, how do you do that? What needs to happen on the balance sheets? We talked about some other stuff too. We did the used cooking oil thing, some stuff on biofuels, just general market feelings. If you want to see the premium stuff, go to standardgrain.com this morning. Sign up. I'll send you over a copy of this morning's email, which includes yesterday's video and the six most recent premium videos. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. This is the best way to support what we're doing here. Nobody pays us to do this except for the premium subs. So without the premium subs, there's no podcast, there's no YouTube. And if you like the podcast and YouTube, you'll really like the premium stuff, I promise. Give that deal a shot this morning.
U.S. corn planting is behind schedule. The crop was 49% planted nationally as of Sunday, compared to 36% the previous week and 54% on average. States that have planted 50% or more of the crop include Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. States with 40% planted or less include Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, North Dakota, Ohio, South Dakota, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Soybean planting was reported at 35% complete nationally versus 25% the previous week and 34% on average. States that are 40% planted or better include Arkansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, and Tennessee. States with 25% planted or less include Michigan, North Dakota, and South Dakota.
Yeah, a lot of your major corn growing states are behind average. Iowa was 57% done versus 70 on average. Illinois was 42% done versus 56 on average. There's going to be some weather implications here as we move forward, and we'll get to that in a second. Let's do winter wheat real quick.
So the U.S. winter wheat crop was rated 50% good to excellent nationally, which was unchanged from the prior week. The rating fell below pre-report expectations of 51%, but was still the highest rating for this time of year since 2020. The crop was rated 18% poor to very poor, which was up from 16% the previous week. Improvements were noted in Oklahoma and Colorado, while conditions declined marginally in Kansas. The crop is 57% headed nationally versus 43% last week and 44% on average. The U.S. spring wheat crop is 61% planted versus 47% last week and 48% on average.
The biggest problem that I see is maybe the HRW crop in Kansas in particular, which is only 31% good to excellent. That's, I think, the worst rating of any winter wheat state, and that's your biggest HRW producing state. That would be your problem. We'll talk about weather in regard to that in a second.
Scattered rain moved across some portions of the U.S. Corn Belt early this morning. Southern Illinois, Western Kentucky, and Western Tennessee perhaps saw the strongest system. A less aggressive system moved across Southern Iowa. The next 5 days will be wet for Southern Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio. Areas that will be much drier by comparison include Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, South Dakota, and Nebraska. This morning's Euro model is slightly drier for HRW wheat areas in Kansas.
Forecast is wet for some central and eastern areas of the Corn Belt. And depending if you want to look at the government or the euro, whatever, they're fairly similar. So Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, those are going to be your areas that may continue to experience delays. You look at your western or northwestern areas, Iowa, Minnesota, the Dakotas, into Nebraska. I think those areas could make a ton of progress here over the next 5, 6, 7 days. You guys tell me, drop me a YouTube comment, but I know that these if there's going to be a problem here, I think it's going to be more so in your central and eastern areas. And that's assuming that this forecast is reality. And even like, you know, you look at this map, even the northern half of Illinois, I mean, there's going to be spotty stuff, but there may be some areas that get a lot done. You look at Michigan, maybe northern Indiana. It's not a full-blown like Corn Belt, super widespread coverage type deal. It's more central and eastern type areas, that sort of thing. Looking at HRW wheat country, they've dialed back the expected amounts, I think, over the next 5 days for Kansas and surrounding areas. So you may see those wheat conditions in Kansas continue to struggle.
U.S. corn shipments were poor last week. USDA reported that 37 million bushels of corn were inspected for export during the week ending May 9th. The print was down 28% from the previous week and down 20% compared to the same week last year. Soybean shipments were slightly above expectations at 15 million bushels. Shipments were up 13% versus the prior week and up 113% compared to the same week last year. Wheat shipments were reported at 13 million bushels, up 8.1% from the previous week and up 39% versus the same week last year.
USDA on Friday revised higher its projection for old crop corn exports, which I did not quite understand based on the pace of sales and shipments. I would not be totally shocked if that number had to come back down at some point. But in any case, that wasn't the best corn number. The soybean number was okay. I still think we've got a soybean problem too, and USDA may need to come down there. So we still have some export issues.
Stocks and bonds have risen ahead of April's producer price index and consumer price index readings. Since the beginning of the month, the Dow Jones has risen 4.3%, only 1% away from its high set back in March. The 10-year U.S. Treasury note has fallen to 4.5%, down from 4.7% in late April. The PPI is expected to increase by 0.3% from last month, up from a 0.2% increase in March. The CPI is slated to rise by 0.4%, which is unchanged from March. PPI data will be released today, and CPI data will follow on Wednesday.
As of this morning, it's now looking likely that you're going to see your rate cut in September. A lot of people would dispute that. A lot of this will be contingent on forthcoming inflation data. That being said, it's been said that the Fed has quietly adjusted its inflation target higher, that it used to be 2%, and now maybe it's 2.8%. So I don't know exactly what they're going to do here. It seems like they're in kind of a sticky situation. What did cattle do yesterday?
They were narrowly mixed. Feeders were 55 cents lower to 57 cents higher. Live cattle were 72 cents lower to 22 cents higher. Box beef prices were stronger yesterday. Choice ended the day at 298.95. That was up 438. And select ended the day at 287.18. That was up 301.
Outside markets on Tuesday, U.S. dollars about flat. Stocks are about flat. Bonds are about flat. Crude oil is about flat, up 3 cents, and the June WTI at 79.15. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.